salutations, everyone. This is AC2CS. My name is Roy, and I am Net Control Operator for this Limark Technical Mess. Limark Technical Mess meets every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. You will probably know that better than I do. It's been going on for 39 years, 38 years under the direction of Dick K2RIW. Unfortunately, became a silent key last year, so we continue this in memory of him. So please join me for this episode of the Limark Technical Mess. As always, I want to share with you a couple of links to be aware of. Let me drop for a sec. Okay. If you need to get in touch with me and you can't do it on the radio, email is as good as any reason. To ask me questions. We do have a mailbag question tonight, which I'm looking forward to discussing. Hopefully, the gentleman who wrote this will be available on EchoLink later on tonight. But if you have a question, that's the mailbag type of question. Or if you have a topic that you want to hear discussed, or if you have a puzzle that you'd like to share with me, I love to offer puzzles to participants. Usually that's a wonderful reason to get into a discussion of some interesting topic. Or if you want me to tap Paul on the shoulder and ask him to take a look at a NASA or space-related situation, video, or YouTube, what have you, and comment, you can reach me at the email address mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag at, my call sign is Alpha Charlie 2 Gulf Sierra .com. I have a bunch of links available on my link page at your leisure. They'll be available for the foreseeable future, so you don't have to go and look at them right now. You can do it sometime later in the week or in the month. You can get there by typing into your browser roy.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to my link page. There is a chat room available for this technical net. You can either go to Limark's own site and look for the link there, or you can type in your browser chat.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to the chat room. And as always, I remind people that I offer a audio stream of the W2CL repeater through the internet. If you don't have access to a radio, but a cell phone or a browser, or computer access is available, you just type in your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you, for the most part, a stream of the Limark repeater. Also want to remind everyone of Mike AC2NJI's excellent archive of the technical nets that go as far back as December of 2006. There's a lot of wisdom from a lot of very wise hams who unfortunately became silent keys in the ensuing years, but their words are still very useful, their wisdom is still available, so please check out my site, hamsradio.tv. Let me drop for a sec. Okay, I also want to remind Limark members that our own space net reporter, Paul, WS2S, is going to be giving a presentation this Wednesday on June 9th at the Limark General Meeting. It will be available via Zoom. If you're a club member, you should have gotten an email mentioning the link to log on to Zoom. He says that his presentation will probably start at some point around 8 o'clock. The General Meeting starts at 7 p.m. So all you Limark members are welcome to take in Paul's presentation. Wanted to remind you of that. Let me drop for a sec. Okay, my plan tonight, as long as the repeater allows it, is a rather routine episode of the technical mess. I will ask for any questions, and we'll take a list of people's call signs, first name, and we'll try to answer as best we can with the help of the people listening in. Questions in a orderly fashion based on when people check in and give me their name and their call sign. We'll try and make that go until about 10:15 when Paul will come in with the SpaceNet report until about 11 o'clock, and I'll return to tie a bow on it and wish you all a good week. So that's my plan. In addition, as I mentioned, I do have an actual mailbag question. There are few and far between these days, unfortunately. But this one's a good one, and I hope we have a good conversation about it. So, with that in mind, if anyone out there has any questions or topics that they would like to have discussed tonight, please give me your first name and your call sign.
WB2KWC10.
Ken recognized the first gentleman started to talk before the repeater clicked in. So if you could give me your first name and your call sign again. I have Ken, but I need yours.
AB2RSQ, Pete.
Okay, very good, Pete. So I have Pete and Ken. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight?
Whiskey 2 Bravo Zulu.
Rich recognized. Anyone else want to put their name in tonight for any questions or topics? Give me your first name and your call sign.
Yeah, this is Raymond, KD2VYY.
This is Frank, KD2WIR.
Okay, Frank, I have you down on the list. The first person who checked in was Pete, I believe, RSQ. Pete, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, very good. What's your question or topic for tonight?
So, trying to get my act together with digital modes. I've got a Fusion radio, which I'm talking in FM mode now, to the distributor. But I've got a DMR radio as well. I'm trying to get into the W2K here on 419.265, which is a line mark meter. Not having much success hearing anything, although it does sound like I may be picking it up. I'm just wondering, is that repeater in digital mode, is that a closed repeater just for LimeWalk members? Is there a special code that needs to be entered into the code plug for the DMR radio in order to get access? I believe I have everything set up with the code plug in terms of color code and the channels I'm looking to operate. But just, I guess I need some sort of an Elmer here to get me going on DMR. I'm just wondering whether 4.9365 is an Elmer to you.
Okay, Steve, yeah. Well, that's a good question, Steve. On a theoretical basis, it is, to my knowledge, an open repeater. I'm going to ask people who use it regularly. The last I heard recently, they were having a problem with their network connection. When it comes to DMR repeaters, there is a bridge, it's called the C bridge, that connects the local repeater to a DMR talk room. And my understanding is there was something that went terribly wrong with it recently. This might be the reason why, if you can't raise anyone locally, you try to operate a talking group. If the bridge is broken, it won't pass. So I'll ask people out there who have a lot more recent experience with the LimeWalk DMR repeater, is the C bridge operational at this time? Gosh, I find it hard to believe there's no one out there that's using the LimeWalk DMR repeater. There's got to be, I listened to it in the past. There's a dedicated group of people. I guess they're not listening tonight, or they're not close to their microphones. I'll give them another chance. If there's anyone who has any knowledge of a recent development of LimeWalk repeater, vis-a-vis whether the bridge, the C bridge, is operational, please let me know.
NY2H.
Yes, Lou. Tell me the nitty gritty there.
Yeah, I was involved in the conversation the other day. Three of us were in the queue, so one was coming in Glen Oaks, DMR machine. One in Plainview, DMR machine, and one in myself, Selden, DMR machine. And we had no issues at all. And in fact, I brought up the C-Bridge page, and Everybody's coming up fine with good signals. So the problem they may have had in the past, they might have had some internet issue in Plainview at one point, but so far, I mean, I, you know, it's anecdotal, but I had no issue at all, and that was a good test. It just serendipitously, we, three of us were on the three different machines, and I did not experience any issues.
Okay, and have you been working the talk groups as well through the DMR repeater?
Well, this particular QSO was on a LIMARC talk group, but trying to remember the last time I went out. Yeah, I think I went out to worldwide. Yeah, as far as I know, there aren't any issues.
Okay, that's good to know. I had heard some stories about it. I also don't assume that the DMR is locked down, that you have to get approval to operate it. So, yeah, I'm trying to help Pete there, who's trying to get onto that repeater and not getting much success. So it's not locked down. It's open for use in general, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, we have our answer from Luke. So, Pete, have you tried the Parrot talk group? That's kind of the easiest way of seeing if you have a proper connection, and then you work forward that way. So, do you have the Parrot group coded into your handy talkie where you can select it and try and reach that and get an echo coming back?
KB2RSQ. Yes, I have actually. That was, you know, I am getting a beep response when I keyed, you know, my handheld computer. It does beep back at me after a couple of seconds. I did set up the Paris channel. I had seen a YouTube video about that particular one, and I had actually included that in the code log. I probably have, I don't know, 200 or so you know, channels in the code log I set up. Now, it's funny, just before we got on, as I see, there's actually, my handheld is showing, looks like, but I'm not hearing anything going on. So, I'm not sure what the issue is. I don't expect you to help me troubleshoot this now, but, you know, I think maybe what I'll do is just join LimeWalk. I was unable to get down to the ham fest today, but I did have an application with me today. I'm see if I can join when I get down to the ham fest. I'll mail that in and join the club and see if I can get connected up with the fellow members who are in the DMR.
Okay, that's a good idea, Pete. It's a great club. A lot of people on this net are members, have been members for many years. I'm coming up to a 10-year membership. I just actually had to renew my license, so that was nice. Have you set your handy talkie to what's called promiscuous mode? There are different terms for it, but what it amounts to is originally DMR radios would squelch everything but the talk group that you programmed it for in that channel, in that zone. So the promiscuous mode opens it up to all the other talk groups, so you can hear the other talk groups. You can't transmit directly to the other talk groups unless you select them specifically, but it gives you a way of receiving signals. So have you played around with promiscuous mode yet?
Yeah, I believe, yeah, I'd have to go back into the code plug. I don't have the editor open right now. But you know, I went through in terms of, you know, the frequency slides, I know there's two frequency slides available, right? Two time slots, I should say. I believe I have that set up correctly. I think I can't tell you if you're certain about the, I did try the Paris talk, and like I said, well, I didn't seem to get a response from the repeater. I didn't hear myself and I went back. I think it wasn't YouTube video to get a response. But, you know, like I said, trying to troubleshoot this over, you know, a session like this is not going to be able to fly over. There's so many variables. That code was thank you for taking the call. I guess one last question would be, when I send, I have to mail in the application, but can I make the payment over PayPal, or should I just send a check when I mail in the application?
Well, I pay through PayPal. I don't think it's a problem. If you pay through, you can pay Jerry, the treasurer, through a check, but I find it easier to go through PayPal myself. So there is a PayPal address. I think it's listed on the website, probably also on the application.
All right, so I can make the payment. I guess I'll just make note of the transaction ID. In fact, I forward it to you. All right, yes, listen, thank you for taking the question. Let me get my membership in and follow up with the folks. Appreciate the time. Thank you. Keep it as far as you.
Dave? Yeah, is that you, Rich?
Yes, it is. I was wondering what the talk group number is, the Brandmeister talk group number.
I don't think he's on Brandmeister. He's using the Seabridge. That's different than Brandmeister.
So you have to hit a repeater directly. Is there a repeater in Selden?
Yeah, he's trying to hit the Limark TMR repeater.
But is there a repeater in Selden that's hooked up to the Limark repeater?
I don't know the location of the DMR, of the Limark DMR repeater. I think he can reach it because he's getting an acknowledgement speech, so it's not a problem of not reaching the repeater from his description.
Yes, let me just jump in. Yeah, I'm trying to go into W2KPQ, which is listed as Selden on the Limark webpage, DMR digital enabled, 449.3. Now, you mentioned the Seabridge versus Brandmeister. The set of channels, that I brought down in the code plug, those are all Brandmeister. I believe they're all Brandmeister sourced. So I'm not sure I understand the difference, the distinction between Brandmeister and Seabridge.
Okay, the way that repeaters work, as far as I know, DMR repeaters, is that they have their own backbone, their own network, which is called the Seabridge. The problem is that the only way to access the Seabridge is with a repeater. So when people started to buy hotspots and they wanted to link, they have no place to link because people who run the Seabridge won't let you access it with anything less than a DMR repeater. So they built up a kind of parallel network of a secondary bridge that is Brandmeister that has separate links into the nodes of the talk group of the Seabridge, but they're not directly connected to the Seabridge. Sometimes the talk group numbers are a little different, though, unfortunately, just to confuse the audience. So Brandmeister is a third-party network that piggybacks off of DMR's Seabridge, but is not directly connected to its trunk.
Okay, I think I understand the distinction there, but honestly, the Seabridge infrastructure behind the repeater, before you get out on the internet, proper to get Brandmeister talk, I would expect that to be more or less transparent, and the Brandmeister talk group IDs would just get passed through that. I'm pretty good with computers and networking. I don't necessarily understand how in the amateur community got such set up. A lot of terminology misused in my head anyway when it comes to networking. But anyway, this sounds like something I may need to look into. When you say Seabridge, is that letter C hyphen bridge, or is it S-E-A hyphen bridge or something like that? How is that spelled out?
Yeah, it's the letter C and the word bridge, It's a voice over internet protocol dedicated to DMR repeaters and only DMR repeaters. So you need to have gateways connecting the talk group using some other method, unfortunately, that then coalesce into an endless number of servers all over the world, which call themselves Brandmeister. There are other groups that are kind of doing similar things. There's TGIF that have, I believe, just one server functioning for that, that use a bunch of gateways to connect the talk groups to TGIF. There's botnet. There's a lot of different independent groups of people who sometimes keep the C-Bridges talk group designation and sometimes, unfortunately, don't.
Okay, thanks. But again, I would think that would be transparent unless there was some other setting in the code flow that would need to be, have that C-bridge ID or whatever identified in the code flow itself. So far, I haven't come across that. Anyway, you have spent a lot of time on me. I appreciate that. So I think, I'm good to see you if you'd like to move on.
Okay. I mean, we're probably going to have a quiet night, so if you want to continue this a little bit more, I'm fine with it. I don't think anyone's in a terrible rush. Just to try and give you a little bit more insight into it, what's sort of going on is you have a bunch of people who have territorial domination of different things, and they don't like to share their toys. So the Brandmeister people are separate from the DMR repeater guys, and the DMR repeater guys are part of the Z-Bridge. And so it's not transparent because they're not giving, they're not just sending a server directly to Brandmeister's server. They're making it a little bit more complicated and difficult. Brandmeister is the only way you can access Brandmeister. You can't do it through a repeater. As far as I'm aware, the repeaters are wired for the Z-Bridge. You get to places like Brandmeister when you use a hotspot, because you can designate what the IP address that the hotspot logs into, and if you use one of the Brandmeister servers, then it runs on Brandmeister. If you plug in the server that's owned by Quadnet, you're using Quadnet. If you log into the IP address of the server that does TGIF, you're doing TGIF. So these are separate entities of voice over internet protocols that have gateways connecting them to talk groups from the Z-Bridge. Not from the Z-Bridge itself, but probably from radios connected to repeaters and Z-Bridges. So there's a couple of gateways, and there's a lot of latency issues and drop packet problems that come along with these configurations.
Headline 2H.
Yes, Lou.
Headline 2H.
Yes, Lou.
Yeah, I believe repeaters do connect directly to Brandmeister. In fact, they have the Brandmeister page open. And there's north of 4,000 repeaters connected to it. And north of 12,000 hotspots connected to it right now.
Okay. I'm curious how you configure that. Is it a different set of talk groups? Because some of their talk groups use the same numbers.
So, if you use a Brandmeister server from a repeater, you're going to be using their talk group designations. So anybody else on Brandmeister, obviously, it's going to jibe. If, on the other hand, you're using a C-Bridge is a protocol also, and generally I view C-Bridges as sub-networks to a grand network like Brandmeister or DMR Mark, one or two of the other ones. And you could take a C-Bridge server and, string up maybe three or four repeaters, and then The Seabridge then has its own 12 group list. You can make whatever 12 groups you want. But then think of the Seabridge as a gateway to the bigger network, like the Brandmeister network. But you don't need a Seabridge. You can go direct to the major network.
Okay, very good. I didn't keep up with what repeaters are doing. When I was first playing around with DMR, that was before really hotspots took off, so it was kind of before Brandmeister. And they seem to develop as kind of independent entities in and of themselves. I would just imagine, because there are different things that are different numbers, like even the Paris number, if memory serves me, the generic Paris number that one did in the old days for DMR is not the same as the Paris number that Brandmeister used.
And this may be an incorrect assumption that all the talk group ideas need to be unique, meaning Brandmeister's got a set of talk group ideas and CNET is going to have a set of ideas, but they're not going to be overlapping, much like the internet is set up and the way the internet address is distributed over worldwide. And that when I hit a repeater with a Brandmeister talk group ID that is going to resolve that and say, okay, this traffic needs to go to that set of servers, and that set of servers will resolve something that needs to be on the floor. That's kind of my interpretation of the way stuff works, but I don't know that for a fact.
Let me see if I have it. Okay. Think of Seabridge as a protocol. Seabridge is not a single network. Seabridge is a protocol, and an analogy would be the router in your home, right? Your router has a local network, so it connects your laptop, your cell phone, or whatever else you might have, maybe streaming TV, all on your local network. Think of that as a Seabridge. So Seabridge is a structure or an asset. Now, when you want to go out to the world, your router now is going out to the internet. So the Seabridge can go out to one of the major networks, like Brandmeister. Now, the thing is, in terms of talk group numbers, Brandmeister has its own talk group numbers. So, for example, we have a talk group for LimeWalk, and LimeWalk's repeaters are on a Seabridge. It's a Bronx Turbo Seabridge. And there's a number of repeaters attached to that. But a finite number, a small number, nothing like all the repeaters around the world. Someone else could have a different Seabridge somewhere else in another state. It has nothing to do with us. So Seabridge is really a protocol. Think of it as your router or a way to tie, some repeaters together. Now, that Seabridge administrator will roll out his own talk group numbers. He can mimic one of the major networks like Brandmeister, so he can make worldwide, whatever it is, 93, and actually gateway over to Brandmeister's network, so you can be on worldwide, because the Seabridge is certainly not going to be worldwide. So again, I think it would be helpful if you think of it as your router at home. Everything on your local network connected to that router is akin to being connected to a Seabridge. Anything that goes out beyond the router over the internet basically is now worldwide, and you go into a major network like Brandmeister. I hope I made it a little bit clearer. NY2H.
Okay, thank you, Lou, for that. And I hate to make things even more complicated. In the old days, I had a sense that they kind of kept the... There's two usual time slots available for each DMR repeater. Usually, the owners will keep one open for a local talk group, and the other will be used for a non-local talk group. So all the other, worldwide, English and all kinds of permutations. My understanding, and I'll ask Lou again, because I don't keep up with local repeaters. A lot of repeaters have been kind of cutting back on the number of talk groups that they're allowing people to access through the repeater. I get the sense that that's so that it doesn't tie up the resources of the repeater, and also because of the ubiquity of hotspots that are available for people able to very easily make their link to unusual talk groups that are available.
I'm going to resolve that packet and put on something on Grandmaster. It's all interesting talk. I just don't understand. Came any closer to getting on to one of these talk groups that are trying to connect. And basically, I've tried worldwide ones, like I said, I think it's 93, I think it might have been 91. Whatever the worldwide one is, and I've also tried the Paris one other one. We have the local New York one. Again, I'm not getting anything. Yet, you know, complete silence.
As I mentioned earlier, I am seeing some traffic now on the handheld itself. I'm seeing names and call signs come up, and another code is, some other codes is coming up from the top line of the radio. They're not hearing anything from out of it. As I'm sitting here on this gateway radio, my P-TECH is the DMR computer radio itself, and I do see some traffic apparently coming up, you know, on my display, but I'm not hearing. So, doing something. Maybe I need to look at that permission, so double check that.
Yeah, I mean, my two best guesses are occasionally there are people who are just linking talk groups, so they kerchunk the repeater, and they don't really supply any audio, and so all you see is the sign-in on the screen. And the other is, it speaks Welsh because it's not in promiscuous mode, and they're having conversations on a talk group that you haven't programmed that channel of your handy talkie to receive.
So let me ask this. You know, I've used this. I've only discovered recently, you know, a Yaesu fusion repeater nearby. I'm in Stony Brook. But when I first got this radio last year, I couldn't find anything nearby, so I purchased an open spot 3. But based on your recommendation, I think it was running. Maybe I forget who was running. You've made your recommendation to look at the open spot. And I actually did purchase one, and I just set my Yaesu up with that. So I have used Yaesu on the open spot hotspot. But I was able to get onto a website where, you know, I could see the traffic that I was generating. You know, in the DMR world, specifically, you know, I guess the LimeWire, you know, CNET, essentially, or even on Grandmeister. Can I go to the Grandmeister website and see my traffic, see if the traffic's getting to that fork loop or not? And even before that, is there a way for me to look at the CNET? I think you said it was the Bronx node, or Bronx network. Is there a way to get onto that network, just to see if it's getting in there, and then maybe also on the Grandmaster side? You know, basically, when I say see him, I'm talking about navigating to the website and looking at the traffic.
Yeah, if the repeater is operating, is connected to Grandmaister, and that's the talk group that you're talking through, you should set up a connection with Grandmaister. You can open up an account. It's a very simple procedure. And there's a dashboard. You type in your DMR ID, and it will tell you the amount of activity it needs to find you with. So if you're active on a talk group, it'll tell you you're active on a talk group. As far as the Z-Bridge, I do not know if the Bronx Z-Bridge has a dashboard. They might. I haven't looked at it lately. But Grandmaister has a very nice a dashboard. And if you really think that you're operating through Grandmaister, you can try that.
Android 2H.
Yes, Lou.
All right, a couple of things. First of all, extending that analogy, okay, the talk groups are assigned by either the Z-Bridge administrator, or if you're not going through a Z-Bridge, say you're going to Brandmeister directly, it'll be Brandmeister's numbering system. So to extend the analogy, going directly to Brandmeister is like throwing your router out the window and going directly to your cable modem. So you have one device now going out there, rather than a network of devices, namely around a Z-Bridge. Bronx Turbo does have a page similar to the Brandmeister page. So you can see yourself on both of them, actually. If you're going, like, if you're going to the cells and machine, you should see yourself on both. Because Seabridge does connect through to Brandmeister. So I didn't get your call. Give me your call. I'll look up your email address, and I can send you the URL for the Bronx Turbo webpage, and you can see if you're getting in there.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So my call is KB2RSU, Kilo Bravo 2 Romeo 0 Quebec. My email address is my first initial, which is P, and my full last name, PILGRIM, at optonline.net. But yeah, you know what? I'll be honest with you, looking, I don't know why I didn't do this when I had already done it, you know, when I was in the hospital. And, you know, thank you for the reminder about the Grandmeister dashboard. I've already got the user ID on Grandmeister, and that's where I downloaded the talk groups from, and, you know, I edited that up, and it's cool, and, like I said, about 200. So, yeah, if you could send me that link, that would be great. I can, to me, that's going to be the first step now. If I can see myself on CNET, because I know that the radio ID is getting into the CNET network, and seeing me, and that you know, I can check on the Grandmeister side as well. Then, why we're not hearing anything from the back. Maybe that's...
Okay. Is your email on QRZ? Because I'm not sure I got the whole thing.
It is, yeah. I think what's on QRZ is Pete@computer.org, which is an IEEE. And that just goes to the other email here. So Pete@computer.org. But QRZ is up to date. Either way, you can get that. Yeah, whatever's on QRZ, you can get it.
Roger, roger. I'll send that out now. Back to net.
Okay, thank you very much, Lou, and for people listening who'd like the address as well, it's rather simple. It's netwatch.nydmr.net. So that'll bring you to the control center from Turbo 3.
Thanks a lot for the time tonight, guys. I appreciate the time and the effort and all the information. So this should help me out getting going.
You're welcome, Pete. Please come back anytime, and once you figure out what was going wrong and you fixed it, come back to tell us the rest of the story, okay?
I will do that. Thank you. And I'll be getting my application
tomorrow. Okay, welcome aboard, Pete. We love to have members. Members are good. 10 is next, B2KWC. What's your question or topic for tonight, 10?
Okay, this is a continuation of my haunted TV, which turns itself on periodically. Last net, you asked me some questions, and I've got answers. Basically, we were trying to decide, was it RF from my rig? And today, while I was at the Limark Hamfest, it turned itself on twice. So it's definitely not RF from the rig. We placed the remotes under the covers of the bed and faced them away from the TV. These are IR remotes, infrared remotes, so basically, the TV should not have picked that up. My next step is to basically see if the cause is internal or external by essentially fitting some kind of opaque cover over the IR receiver for the remote. And if it turns on then, we will know that the cause is internal to the television. If it doesn't turn on then we suspect that something is generating the proper IR codes to turn it on, and whatever that something is seems like a remote.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense. It's a nice, orderly plant. I was going to, before you got to that part, say that, you know, next thing is to just cover it up entirely. It doesn't completely mean that it's internal. Theoretically, if it was made from RF and you covered up the sensor, you would still have it turn on and off because the sensor electronics are being interacted with outside RF. But the fact that you had no equipment on at the time kind of gets rid of the RF as a reason. That would be my best next step as well. I'll ask people out there if they have any brilliant ideas, but yeah, you cover it up. For the life of me, I can't imagine something that in a room without any living people or animals or anything, and without a remote control anywhere to be found, something is generating just the right infrared signal. Because, you know, most remote controls are not simple devices. They're pulse code modulated infrared, so that a random infrared can't jam things the way this is doing. So now I turn more towards there's some flakiness in the control circuit in the television itself as the most likely cause. But you'll soon see and hopefully report back to us here at TechSense.
82 UQK coming.
Yes, UQK.
Good evening to the rest of the net, Katie. To you, UQK. I have just one, maybe two questions. How new is the TV? Because I had this problem with an Xbox that every time it turned on to do an update or update games that were installed, it would turn the TV on with it, and that happened to be a control over HDMI protocol. So my question would be to the gentleman, how new is the TV?
Okay, the TV is at least 5 years old. I believe the control protocol over HDMI is something called CEC, and that is disabled, although I would not swear to it until I double-checked it again.
Okay, yeah, I would take a look at that. It depends what devices you have connected to the TV, whether it be a cable box or some other type of multimedia device. I've had DVD players, my Xbox, and a couple other things that had that ability to do that protocol, and it's not too new. You know, I have a Sony TV from about 10 years ago, and it supports it. So I would give it a shot and disconnect every HDMI device you have from the back of the thing. And see if it does it over a couple of days, see if it turns on by itself, because that was a big thing for me that I had to figure out, because it was spooky. You could turn on in the middle of the night, it's like, phew, Xbox, and it would just give the whole the whole startup sound. It was kind of freaky. So I would disconnect every HDMI device you have connected to it, see if it's still happening.
Okay, I can give that a try. I'm wondering if you think it would be a problem if the only thing that's connected to that television is a TiVo. I'm just curious, can I disconnect it at the TiVo? The reason I'm thinking of doing it that way is simply because the TiVo is kind of out in the open. And the HDMI cable going into the back of the television, you've really got to move the television away from the wall. It's something that my wife would not be too happy to experiment with.
Yeah, you can disconnect it wherever you see. You can pull the power out of the back of the TiVo. You can disconnect the HDMI. It doesn't matter where you disconnect it. It's just that you don't have a device giving signal to the HDMI port. You can leave the cable in there, that doesn't matter.
The power on the TiVo, that's a great idea. Because that's a simple coaxial barrel connector. You can kind of pull it out easily, put it back in easily. She'll just have to wait the minute or two for the TiVo to finish booting. Okay, that's a good idea. I think I'll try that.
Okay, good luck, Ken. We kind of mentioned the CEC last week, and, but yeah, that's a good idea. Sometimes other devices can trigger simple remote function. I would think that the TiVo would have triggered it long before now, but, you know that would kind of ask the question of why is the TiVo all of a sudden turning on your TV set, which is maybe what we'll take up next week on the tech test.
Okay. Why is it doing that? I have no idea, but the TiVos get regular updates maybe once every month or two, so yep, there's some new code in there. Who knows when it was loaded, and might be doing that.
Android 2H.
Yes, Lou.
I just posted a link in the chat room. PC Magazine did an article on this very problem. I think in January, so take a look at that, Ken. But it talks about CEC and a couple other things.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Lou. I see the link. I will go read it and see what it tells me.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Lou. As I always say, Google is your friend. Okay, very good. I wish you luck, Ken, and please come back and tell us how it all ended. I'd like to hear the end of the story as well. Next on our list for tonight is Rich W2BZ. What's your question or topic for tonight, Rich? Well, I'll try one more time. Maybe I caught you at a bad time, Rich. I'll try one more time. Rich W2BZ, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm out here. I answered my own question, and I'm having a little trouble with the cable, so I'm fine for now. Thanks. But there was one other question that I did have. I forget now.
Okay, you're kind of dropping out of the repeater. I'll tell you what, I'll take the next gentleman on the list and then I'll come back to you. Is that okay, Rich?
Yeah, no need to. No need to. I answered my own question.
Okay, Rich. Good for you. I guess next on the list, though, is Frank, K2WIR. What's your question or topic for tonight, Rich? Frank, rather.
Yes, this is Frank, K2WIR. I really didn't have a question. I was just checking into the net. That's what I thought the previous station was doing, and I just followed suit. So you can go on to the next one. Thank you very much.
Okay, Frank, sorry for the confusion. Once again, this is AC2GS, and my name is Roy, and this is the Limar Technical Net. So, if you have any questions of a technical nature that you'd like to ask, or topics you'd like to bring up, please feel free to hit that push the talk button, give us your first name and your call sign.
AC2UQK, quick question.
Yes, Rob.
Thanks, Roy. I just had a quick question. It might be just be for Lou about really, really quick about the Zebras. So, when you're accessing BrainMeister, they have their own set of talk groups. And the only thing I've noticed about the documentation online for Zebras-enabled repeaters is that most repeaters just say DMR-enabled. It's like they don't mention BrainMeister, they don't mention nothing. So, in the case of, I know there's a Limark DMR talk group for BrainMeister, but in the case of accessing the repeater that's connected to the C-Bridge, what is the talk group ID used for that? Is it the same as the BrainMeister one, or is it a different number that you put into the radio to actually access that? Because, you know, without just listening to it on promiscuous mode, just figuring out the talk group just based on the traffic that comes through, is there a specific one just 4 to access the C-bridge, or is it the same as the AMR, same as the Brandmeister talk group?
I have it, NY2H.
Yeah, Pete, it's a different, it's the same talk group, but it's got a different number. It's got a number on C-bridge, and it's got a completely different number on Brandmeister. So here's the deal. Our computers on Limewalk are connected to the Bronx Turbo. So we use the numbers that he assigns. Now, what he does is he gateways that talk group to a Brandmeister talk group of a different number, but it's the same talk group. So if I'm out of town, I'm in Florida or something, and I can get a Brandmeister connection, well, then I'd have to use the Brandmeister talk group number. But I'll still be able to talk to everybody locally here. But if I'm going through one of my Limewalk machines, then I have to use the C-bridge assigned number. So they're two separate numbers. And if you're connecting to the Selden repeater, what you'll see come up on your screen is the C-bridge talk group number for that talk group.
Okay, that's exactly what I was looking for. Okay, all right, so just input, when you're accessing the repeater, you have to use the C-bridge assigned number, not the Brandmeister assigned number, if you're using the cell repeater. I got you. All right, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you very much. KD2, UK.
Thank you, Lou. As I've kind of gotten the sense, I don't know, digital modes are convoluted, interconnected, same talk group have different numbers depending upon how you get there. It's a shame that there isn't one single body that can kind of put a wee bit of order into the world.
Well, now, theoretically, yes, the Bronx Turbo could have used the same number, I believe. I don't think there'd be a conflict there. But it's again, it's like, you know, your local area network mapping to a, an internet address rather than a LAN address, mapping to a LAN address. So there's a little conversion there. But don't lose sight of the fact that this whole protocol was really not from an amateur radio. Amateur radio came in and adopted the DMR protocol, but it was more for organizations with fleets and different departments and divisions. And so they developed this system. You can actually, through DMR, do a private call rather than a group call also. So you can do like point to point. So basically, you know, it's a rough adaptation of something that was designed for something completely different.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Lou. It's basically a commercial messaging system. It's not designed for call signs. It uses numerical unique identifiers. It's off group zones, which drives some amps crazy, in addition to the obvious channel. So it's a decidedly commercial system. It's sort of designed to have a guy who you pay an annual salary to run the whole thing. So he can look up the books and use the expensive software. Motorola software was rather pricey. I remember people using convoluted ways of programming their used Motorola DMR radio. So, yeah, the Fusion is much more amateur radio friendly because it was designed for amateurs. You boot up a Fusion radio, it says what's your call sign, and you're pretty much it. DMR is a little bit more convoluted, but not terribly. But yes, DSR is convoluted. DMR is very problematic. People kind of bump into code plugs, and it takes a while for the metaphors to sink in, because it's so unlike anything that we've experienced with any other equipment.
WB2HRO.
Yes, Joe.
What's going on here tonight?
What's going on is what has been going on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock for 39 years. It's the Limar Technical Net. I realize that someone told you erroneously that we have a Stop and Shop or a Stop and Whopper or some such. That's usually done Monday night. This is a technical net meant to discuss technical issues. We don't sell used items here per se.
Okay. Monday, what time?
It's about 8:45. I believe George, 82FUI, who is the gentleman who runs this, was telling you about it earlier this week.
Okay, so I would, I don't know, mention there are something Sunday night, something. All right, so Monday night is the Limar computer. Maybe you can see some other computer has it tonight. No problem. I'm just listening to you guys talk. Turning my dial, trying to find out what computers are active. I can see up about 50-70 computers, but there's no. It's not like the old days when it was actually.
Yeah, we're more than happy to have you with us. You were having that conversation with Sam. Sam mentioned that there are three nets. There's a info net. After the info net is the Swap and Shop. There's a computer net that KWB2KWC hosts on the 34th Wednesdays, and there's the My Limark technical net. But we've talked before on a different technical net. I'm the same AC2GS that spoke to you on the KC2RC repeater for that technical net as well.
Okay, now I get it. So you're last night you're on here, and the other night you're on But I'm just listening, so carry on conversation with those guys, and hopefully I remember tomorrow night to come on here. I've got a long list of stuff, and someone buys it all, they just have it real cheap. They can save them, so, you know, a little bit, something for everybody kind of thing. But I was interrupted there. Thank you.
Okay, very good, Joe. I wish you luck. I know George will do the best he can to sell your items tomorrow night. So I wish you luck on that.
Thank you.
Okay, once again, this is AC2GS, and my name is Roy, and I am the control operator for this Limar Technical Net. I have a mailbag question. I would prefer to kind of stretch and delay it a little bit, because Frank, WB2BXO, was the man who sent it to me. He usually gets on Echo Link around 9:15, 9:30, so I'm kind of dragging it out so that he can be included as part of the discussion of the mailbag question. So if there's anyone else out there with any questions of any scientific merit, generalized medical questions, I can't really diagnose or treat people over radios, but if you have any other science questions or even more radio questions, please give me your first name and your call sign.
K2GJE, Ed?
Yes, Ed. What would you like to talk about tonight?
Good evening. Now that the FCC requires us to pay for our license, what is the renewal procedure? I used to do it through ARRL for free. Over.
Well, Ed, I just so happened to renewed my license just 3-4 days ago. It is incredibly painless, and don't tell anyone, it's still free. Although the FCC has decreed that it's going to charge It hasn't decreed when it's going to charge. So for the foreseeable future, it's still going to be free. Some people think that they're going to drop the scimitar.